99 Ways to Stop Bedwetting. Introduction. Often when a child is wetting his or her bed, the reason is due to an undiagnosed medical condition or to psychological effects. As a parent, you need to find out what is affecting your child so you can stop the problem. After reading this publication, you'll have the tools and knowledge to help your child overcome bedwetting. Before we start to consider some of the things that can be done to stop bedwetting, we need to discuss the background. Bedwetting occurs at night, often with children who have little or no trouble controlling their bladder during the day. Bedwetting is not a rare problem. Experts think that 5 to 7 million children in the U.S. wet the bed at least occasionally. The older the children are, the less likely they are to wet the bed. However, 1% of older teenagers and 20% of children between the ages of 5 and 6 will still wet the bed regularly. Bedwetting creates stress for the entire family. Parents may be frustrated and fatigued by the extra laundry, drying mattresses, and reassurances that follow each incident. The medical term for bedwetting is enuresis, and it is a serious subject for medical research. Researchers have found that a few basic causes of bedwetting seem to be the culprit for most sufferers. Among the medical causes are ailments such as urinary tract infections, allergies, diabetes, cell anemia, and sleep disorders that are often the culprit. Since bedwetting is often the first sign of these problems, it is a good idea to get your child checked out to make sure that these conditions don't exist. In addition, researchers have found that psychological reasons such as stress, upset, and trauma often contribute to bedwetting. Children who wet the bed often suffer from low self-esteem, withdrawal, stress, fear, and other problems. These children may suffer from sleeplessness because they fear or are embarrassed by what happens when they sleep. A child with enuresis is often teased by others and may feel dirty by the smell of urine on them. The child may even avoid others out of fear of ridicule. At the very least, fun childhood activities such as camp, sleepovers, and camping may be traumatic rather than happy events for the bedwetting child. Many parents wonder whether they should seek help for bedwetting. After all, despite the problems of bedwetting, many doctors still recommend patience and time as the best ways to resolve the problem, as many children overcome it with no extra help. In general, there are a few signs that you should seek to help for bedwetting. Your child asks for help. If your child thinks that bedwetting is enough of a problem that they need help with it, then bedwetting is serious enough to demand some sort of remedy, period. Your child has suddenly developed the problem after having no problem staying dry before. Your child acts out or has problems with others, teasing or lack of friends, as a result of bedwetting. Your child avoids normal activities that they like camping or going out. Your child is still wetting the bed regularly after being eight years old, and the problem is causing distress. Bedwetting is causing problems in the household. Initial tips for dealing with bedwetting in your household. Tip number one, work on sensitivity. Make sure that your household is sensitive to your child's situation. It's an emotional stress for the bedwetter, and no one at home should tease the child or make them feel terrible about their bedwetting. The more teased a child is about bedwetting, the more difficult it will be for the child to overcome the problem. The older a child is, the more ashamed that he or she may be of wetting the bed, and the more important it will be to stay level-headed and calm to prevent shaming the child. Shaming will only result in trauma and may even make the bedwetting worse. Tip number two. Watch your own sensitivity levels. It's not just siblings and other children that need to be considered. Parents often inadvertently are insensitive to the child's bedwetting. They're frustrated by the laundry that must be done and are sometimes even angered by having to clean so many sheets that are stained or even ruined by urine. On a rushed morning, dealing with urine-soaked sheets before dashing off to work can be frustrating, but it's crucial not to lose your temper. Even if you manage to be the most calm of everybody, one outburst will linger in your child's mind and make them feel ashamed. If you find that you have no time to deal with the sheets and clean up in the morning, strip the sheets from the bed and leave it for later. If you're angry by the cost of bed linens, consider buying less expensive sheets in bulk for a while to reduce the costs. Keep rags and other cleaning supplies, deodorizer and cleaner, in the child's room for fast cleaning. Work on reducing your stress levels when it comes to bedwetting and you're less likely to make an unfortunate comment from pure stress. Tip number 3, educate yourself and others. Share what you have learned with others in your household. If you have several children, you need to be aware that siblings will often tease a brother or sister who still wets the bed. Letting these children know that enuresis is a condition can help them be more sensitive towards their sibling while measures are taken to prevent bedwetting. Tip number 4, educate your child. For the child affected by enuresis, being told the facts about bedwetting can be a big help. Children often hear misconceptions about bedwetting from other children. Myths such as only babies wet the bed can be hurtful to your child and make him or her feel as though there's something wrong with them. Often explaining that enuresis is an actual condition and talking about the remedies that doctors have for it can help persuade your child that bedwetting is a curable and common problem. That way your child can focus on resolving the problem rather than worry about the embarrassment that they may feel. Tip number 5, visit a doctor. Since some bedwetting is caused by undiagnosed medical conditions such as diabetes or allergies, it may make sense to take your child to a doctor to be checked. If there's a doctor in your area who specializes in treating children with enuresis, it's best to start with him or her. In either case, ruling out medical problems can be a big relief. If a medical problem is causing your child to wet the bed, coping with the problem will also generally resolve the enuresis. Tip number 6, evaluate. Evaluate how much of a problem the bedwetting is in your family and how often it happens. Frequent bedwetting often causes many tears and embarrassment and even arguments in your household, which end up being aggressive in treatment and hurting the bedwetter. Tip number 7, different types of bedwetting demand different approaches. Differences between primary and secondary enuresis must be differentiated. Primary nocturnal enuresis is almost never caused by an underlying medical problem. Secondary nocturnal enuresis means that a child has had control of his bladder but has begun wetting the bed. In these cases, it's important to have the child seen by a good pediatrician, as almost all cases of secondary enuresis are caused by an underlying problem, whether it's psychological or physical, and so it responds well to treatment. Tip number 8, make it less stressful. Once you've evaluated the bedwetting in your household, you can develop a plan of action. On a piece of paper, write down what your child should do when he or she wets the bed. Ideally, your child should contact you, and then you should take steps to clean up. Share the plan with your child so that when an accident occurs, your child can put the plan into action rather than being ashamed and trying to get your attention. There are also a few things that you can do to make bedwetting less stressful. Putting special sheets on your child's bed can make cleanup much easier. Keeping extra sheets and blankets by your child's room can also make cleanup much faster, especially in a busy household. Even small things that you can do to make bedwetting less stressful will allow you and your child to focus on resolving the problem rather than worrying about cleanup. Tip number 9, reality check. Consider whether there really is a problem. Although we often expect kids to grow up fast today, the fact is that occasional bedwetting up to age 3 is still considered normal by most experts. Children at this age are still simply learning to do the basic things like use the washroom and control their bladder. Even kids up to age 5 may have an occasional bedwetting accident, and this should not be cause for concern. Many experts consider children over 5 who wet the bed regularly to have nocturnal enuresis. In many cases, this condition tends to run in families and can last well into the teenage years. Before you start worrying unduly about bedwetting, consider the age of your child. If your child is very young, it may simply take a few months or a year to resolve the issue. A child who wets the bed after watching a scary movie or before a big day may be less worrisome than an older child who does not seem to be able to sleep through a dry night. Number 10, take action. Polls have suggested that besides divorce and family conflict, it's one of the most stressful issues for families. Learning to deal with the problem calmly, then, is a big priority. However, parents should not just allow themselves to be lulled into taking no action at all. Once your family has learned to deal with the problem in a level-headed way, encourage your family to seek solutions rather than wait for the problem to go away on its own. There are many solutions that can help your child so your son or daughter does not suffer needlessly. Tip number 11. Don't let it become a big deal. Of course you want to get help for your child to stop wetting the bed, but be careful that your desire to help does not come across as a sign that there's something wrong. Tip number 12. Keep things low-key. Make sure that your approach to bedwetting is low-key. Point out that it is not the child's fault and that it usually means that a child simply needs to keep growing up. There's nothing abnormal about it. It often helps if the child knows that others in the family have experienced bedwetting and have grown out of it. Also, make sure that any treatments or remedies used are often in a low-key, non-threatening way. There's no need to keep stressing the child's bedwetting throughout the day. Offer some therapy during the day, but allow the child to play and just enjoy being a kid. Tip number 13. Let the child tell you when he or she has wet the bed. If your child wets the bed, make sure that siblings or other well-intentioned members of your household don't announce, "Johnny wet the bed again." This just leads to shaming. Instead, it is often helpful to have a quiet time in the morning when your child can tell you himself or herself. Having a system such as a calendar where the child marks wet and dry nights can make it a lot easier for the child to approach you, as there is a routine for sharing this information. Tip number 14, let the child help. If it will help your child feel less embarrassed, let him or her help clean up. He or she can tidy up the pillows or fold the sheets. In some cases, this can make the child feel less inept and babyish if they can be entrusted with a grown-up chore. Plus, if they can help clean up the bed, they may feel in control of a small part of their bedwetting. Do not make cleaning up a punishment, but rather offer it as a way to make the child feel more comfortable. A comment such as, "Would you like to put up the pillowcases on the pillows to make your bed more comfortable?" makes it clear to the child that it is not being punished for bedwetting. Number 15. Stay alert for bigger problems. In the big scheme of things, bedwetting is not a big problem. Your child is not in any danger of serious injury or harm if he or she can occasionally or even regularly loses control of their bladder at night. To a child, however, it may not seem like a small problem. For this reason, as a parent, you must remain alert for signs of bigger problems. If your child's bedwetting causes them to feel so ashamed or upset that their regular life is affected, that is a serious problem. If their schoolwork is affected, then their bedwetting may affect their development as well. If children are bullying or teasing your child to the point that social activities are a problem, then your child may experience alarming signs of stress and depression. In any of these cases, swift action is needed to ensure that your child stays safe and happy. If your child shows any of the following symptoms, he or she may be struggling more than you know and should be taken to a doctor or pediatrician to get help sorting out the emotions he or she is feeling. Sudden and big changes in appetite, eats a lot less or far more, fearful or withdrawn from others, does not show interest in regular activities, does not spend time with others, cries, gets angry or very quiet, mood swings, trouble sleeping, loss of control of bladder during the day, grades dramatically worsen, unusual bruising on the body or favorite toys are broken, may indicate bullying or self-destructive behavior. If you notice these problems, seek more aggressive treatment for the bedwetting and visit a doctor or counselor to help your child deal with the problems caused by bedwetting. Tip number 16. Make sure that medication is not causing the problem. Check the side effects and directions on your child's medication. If your child is taking any medications that cause extreme drowsiness or an urgent need to urinate, the medications may be causing the problem. Medications that make your child very tired may simply not allow your child's body to wake him or her in time to go to the bathroom. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about any medication your child is taking and ask whether the substances may add to the bedwetting problem. Of course, your child may need medication that does not help his or her bedwetting, but in some cases, doses or medications can be changed in order to prevent such side effects. Tip number 17. Make sure your child has easy access to a bathroom. A bright nightlight and a bathroom that is easy to access quickly at night will go a long way towards making sure that your child can get to the bathroom in time. Not every household can arrange to provide a bathroom near the child's bedroom, but consider sleeping arrangements closely and consider arrangements that could make nighttime bathroom trips much easier. Even something as simple as moving the child's bed closer to the bedroom door can save a few seconds at night, reducing accidents. Tip number 18, earlier bedtime. Children who are tired may have a hard time waking up for anything, including a full bladder. If your child gets the sleep he or she needs, they will not be so overtired and they will be able to wake up. Tip number 19, look for psychological triggers. Emotional states often add to bedwetting or even trigger it. If your child is undergoing an upset, divorce in the family, death in the family, bullying, moving, conflicts with siblings, this may contribute to bedwetting. In this case, you can either wait for the child to adjust, at which point the bedwetting may cease too, or you can have your child see a pediatrician or a child therapist. Sometimes even talking about the problems can help. So be sure to discuss anything that seems to be bothering your child. Tip number 20, child self-monitoring. Once you develop a system for dealing with bedwetting, it's useful to have a child check off on a calendar which nights are completely dry, on which nights a bathroom was reached successfully, and which nights were wet. Keeping track lets your child get involved in the solution process, which may make your child feel more confident. Once your child sees an improvement, he or she will likely be encouraged to further success. Tip number 21, care for your child's skin. Bedwetting has a few serious side effects, but one of the physical discomforts it may cause is skin problems. Urine is a mixture of fluid and waste chemicals from the body. When left on the skin for a few hours in the night, it can irritate. Skin may appear red initially and may turn sore and flaky if the skin is not treated. The skin will also thicken if the irritation is not treated, eventually turning wrinkled and pale. Although not dangerous, the type of skin irritation can be very painful for a child. Skin problems can affect any child who wets the bed, but the problem is more aggravated in those who wet the bed often and in those who wear absorbent products to collect the urine. Genitals and buttocks can be affected. In those who wear absorbent underpants, the leg bands and waistbands are often the most irritated. Once bedwetting is resolved, the rash and skin irritation it causes will disappear as well. Until your child has stopped wetting the bed, you can try to reduce the skin irritation that the problem causes. To prevent skin rashes and soreness, make sure the child washes each morning, especially after a wet night. The skin affected by the area should be especially well washed using a mild and moisturizing soap. Encourage your child to rinse the buttocks and genital area when changing absorbent underpants and after waking up after having a wet bed. Use a soft sponge, not a harsh washcloth, on any irritated skin area. Some parents find that applying petroleum ointment to affected areas and areas affected by urine is helpful. Choose correct fitting absorbent undergarments if your child uses them. Make sure that the waistband and the leg bands are not too snug. Choose the most absorbent type you can and look for a brand that offers a top layer that keeps moisture away from the skin. Talk to your pediatrician. If skin irritation continues, he or she may be able to offer a medicated cream to soothe the sore skin. Tip number 22, get your child's consent. Many well-intentioned parents rush out to buy the latest gadget or device for treating bedwetting or to make it less of a problem, only to be horrified to learn that their children want nothing to do with the expensive method. It is important not to force a method on a child. Without your child's enthusiasm and participation, many methods won't work and can actually lead to more bedwetting because of all the stress caused by the supposed remedy. Also, in saying that they don't like a remedy, children may be trying to say something more like the remedy is uncomfortable or causes more embarrassment than the bedwetting itself. Tip number 23, work with your child in resolving bedwetting. When you approach a child with a way to resolve bedwetting, you can often ensure a better reception by approaching the subject in a sensitive and informative way. Explain to your child what the method involves and answer any questions and tell him or her that it may help him or her with bedwetting. Make sure you explain whether a method is temporary, as a child will be more likely to accept something for a little while or on a trial basis rather than accept something for a long time. Behavior modification. Behavior modification simply means that you train the child to wake up in time to go to the bathroom. Behavior modification is considered the most effective way to help a child with bedwetting, as it actually teaches a child to wake up in time rather than just treating the symptoms of bedwetting. Parents should not take behavior modification to mean that bedwetting is a behavioral problem that needs rigorous correction to fix. Rather, behavior modification works more by teaching your child the nighttime bladder control that most children learn sooner or later. There are many types of behavioral modification tips that can be proven effective in helping children overcome bedwetting. Tip number 24, discipline will not work. Many years ago, it was thought that children who wet the bed were simply poorly taught, were developmentally delayed or otherwise abnormal, or just needed more discipline. Even though most parents know better today, many still look at bedwetting as a way of acting out. It is important not to discipline your child for bedwetting. This method not only does not work, but the stress of the discipline may make the problem worse. No child wants to wet the bed after everyone else stays dry for the night. The child who has a hard time not wetting the bed simply needs sympathy and help, not discipline. Tip number 25, offer positive reinforcement and praise. When your child makes it through the night without wetting the bed, be sure to offer praise. Not only will this help the child if he or she feels bad when accidents happen, but it will subconsciously motivate your child to continue trying to correct the problem as well. A system as simple as offering gold stars is effective. A week that is dry should be given a slightly higher treat. You can also use a point system. Have each star or dry night count as a point. When your child reaches 3 points, allow him or her to have a small treat. 5 points can mean a very small gift. 10 points can mean a trip someplace fun, and so on. Keep points posted where they're visible. The excitement generated by this system will encourage your child to keep trying and press on. Tip number 26, give your child hope that the problem is not forever. If your child seems to be doing better, remind him or her again that most people overcome bedwetting with time and notice that the situation seems to be improving itself. Tip number 27, focus on normal bladder control. Most children who wet the bed have trouble at night. However, a small percentage of children have overactive bladders, which means they frequently have to go to the bathroom and may even have a hard time controlling their bladder during the daytime. If this describes your child, take him or her to a doctor or urologist to see what treatments are available for your child's overactive bladder. If your child only has trouble with control at night, then it may be a good idea to focus on the fact that your child does well during the day. Offer your child encouragement by pointing out that he or she can make it to the bathroom during the day, and reassure your child that most people learn to control themselves just as well at night. Tip number 28, night lifting. Night lifting is a technique that requires the parent to wake up the child in the night. Most children lose control of their bladder at a similar time each night, especially if the child follows the same routine each day. If you can pinpoint when each accident occurs, you can set the alarm before this time, wake your child up, and lead them to the bathroom. You can also try waking your child up twice a night. In many cases, this helps the child wake dry in the morning and encourages the child to keep trying to wake up before they are woken up. However, children may resist waking up in the night, especially if they're tired. Tip number 29, bladder control exercises. Your doctor may prescribe exercises for your child to help him or her control their bladder more effectively. Some patients with enuresis benefit from holding their urine as long as possible before releasing. The idea is to keep repeating these exercises in order to help the body develop more control. Some bladder control exercises are, number one, have your child tell you when he or she has to go during the day. Number two, explain to your child that you are doing an exercise to help him or her stay dry at night. Have the child hold the urine. Number three, have your child go to the washroom. And number four, repeat daily, slowly increasing the amount of time you make your child wait. Tip number 30, urination control exercise. Some doctors find that helping the child control urination helps control the urinary sphincter, or the muscle that holds back or releases urine. This exercise is often used in conjunction with the bladder control exercise and is completely safe. Urine control exercise works like this. Number one, when your child urinates, have your child stop urinating midstream. That is, have your child start urinating and then stop by squeezing the muscles, the urinary sphincter, that control the flow of urine. Number two, have your child stop 3 times. Number three, repeat the process during each bathroom visit. Some parents find the two exercises above very, very useful. The idea is that the child will control the bladder more effectively during the day, causing the control to be present at night as well. In general, these exercises work best when the child is over the age of 6 years and for those who are willing to work hard to control their bladder. Some small improvement should be visible in about 2 weeks. Tip number 31, try visualization. Visualization is a behavior modification tool that has proven effective in helping people accomplish many things, from waking up without an alarm to quitting smoking. You can use the same visualization technique to help your children overcome bedwetting. Number one, to begin, have your child relax and close their eyes. You should be in a quiet and comfortable room that has few distractions. Your child should be sitting or lying down. Have your child breathe deeply and relax. Number two, now have your child imagine sleeping in their regular bed in a regular sleepwear. Number three, next have them imagine having to go to the washroom. Your child should really imagine the pressure of having to urinate. Ask the child to imagine what it feels like to have to go during the day, and have your child imagine that the same feeling as vividly as possible in their imagination, in their imagining of their sleep. Number four, now that your child can imagine waking up and going to the washroom, have your child imagine this several times over a period of time. People who use visualization sometimes practice seeing a goal several times a day for weeks. Experts think that visualization works by having the body imagine how things are going to be so precisely and intensely that the body actually accepts the mind's visual clues as reality. The body actually believes what has been visualized is real. If your child imagines waking up in time to go to the bathroom, then he or she will have a set or sort of emotional and mental precedence for what's going to happen in reality. Visualization is especially effective with older children who can be used with other behavioral modification techniques as well. It is very safe and will generally show results in about 2 weeks. Tip number 32, avoid lots of fluids before bed. It's important to keep your child hydrated. Drinking enough water helps the body function properly and helps keep the kidneys healthy. However, encouraging your child to drink most of his or her water intake earlier in the day so that there's less water drunk the hour before bedtime can help ensure that the body does not produce a lot of urine at night. Remember, though, encourage your child to drink more fluids, not less, even if it does mean some wet nights. Drinking fluids helps the bladder and kidneys function, which will help ensure dry nights in the long run. Dehydration and lack of fluids will not solve anything and may make the problem worse, as people with smaller bladder retention have a harder time to stay dry at night. Tip number 33, watch what fluids your child drinks. Some fluids cause more problems than others. While your child is trying to overcome bedwetting, it's often best to stick with water. Colas, dark teas, and coffee all contain caffeine that irritates the bladder and also may increase the urgency to urinate more frequently. If your child is older, alcohol may also affect bedwetting by ensuring the motor controls needed to wake up are affected while the need to urinate is increased. Apple juice also seems to cause increased urination in some children, thanks to the two substances, patulin and gallic acid, that it contains. Encourage your child to eat apples during the day, but do not serve apple juice or applesauce in the evenings. Tip number 34, watch what your child consumes. Sugary foods, carbonated drinks, milk, yellow cheese, and other products contain these ingredients, all contributing to bedwetting. Try cutting specific foods from your child's diet for a while and see whether it has an effect on the bedwetting. Monitor what your child eats before bedtime closely and eliminate any foods that seem to contribute to bedwetting, or at least limit these foods to mornings. Remember, when limiting specific foods, take great care to ensure that your child eats a balanced diet that still includes plenty of foods from each food group. Bedwetting is a minor problem compared to a vitamin deficiency. Tip number 35, night trips to the bathroom. Encourage your child to go to the bathroom before sleep. You can even wake him or her up to go when you go to sleep so that he or she can urinate again. This gets rid of the urine in the bladder, reducing the chances that the bladder will be left with enough urine to wet the bed. Even if your child wets the bed, the amount of wetness will be reduced. Some parents also find that this technique alone is enough to help bedwetting. Even if it's not, it's a safe method that can be used with other remedies. Tip number 36, wake up alarm. There are a number of alarms on the market that your child can wear. These emit a noise when moisture is detected. They will wake your child up, allowing him or her to go to the bathroom. Even if your child is a very heavy sleeper and will not wake up to the alarm can wake up the rest of the household so that you can go and wake up your child. The idea behind the device is that the child will eventually learn to wake him or herself up after being woken by the alarm several times. Some improvement will also be seen in about 2 weeks.